Amen. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want to say welcome. Welcome home, because it's the house of God, and we're the family of God, and we've come for one purpose, that he would be glorified in all that we do. So if you're visiting with us this morning, you're not a stranger if you know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you an opportunity to get to know him at the end of the service, and to accept him, to repent, to turn. We've all had to, you know, one of the things that isn't, a lot of places it's not preaching, that is repentance. There's a turning that has to come. You do not come and say, Jesus, forgive me my sins. Okay, I'm good, now I'm going to live any way I want. No, you die. When you come to Jesus Christ, you repent. That means you turn 180 degrees and you start walking a different direction. And so many people want to keep walking and doing what they want to do in the midst of it. Sorry, that day you die in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because your old man wasn't worth keeping alive. He was nasty. He was ugly. He had a foul mouth. He had wrong thoughts. He put his hands to all kinds of garbage. Amen? Yeah, I know some of you, and I know that's true. And I know it was true in my life. That's for sure. But thank God for Jesus and the Word of God that changed our lives. And now we get to build an everlasting kingdom with our lives. How wonderful is that? When we build the kingdom of God, it's one that never perishes. So the souls of men and women are always built up and strengthened and made whole and new, and it's just amazing. So I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, it'll be the greatest decision you ever made in your life. Ever. Ever. There is no bigger decision to make in your life. There's only one, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's the decision. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved than the name of Jesus. Okay, you're getting there. You guys are amazing. You're amazing. You know, in the midst of this time and this season that we're in, where so many people are drawing back, I want you to know God's not drawing back. God is still on the throne. He is still building and expanding his kingdom. You know, maybe you look around and you say, well, I can't. I want you to know you can. You might have to do it a little bit differently, but you can. You can do all things. Anything you want to do, you can do it. It might just look a little different than what you were used to. And how many know the church needs to look a little different than what it used to look like? Tell your neighbor, say, you need to look different. Okay? Doesn't mean more makeup, all right? That's not what we're talking about. But you need to look differently. That means that in every situation, you've got a smile on your face. That'd be a nice look, wouldn't it be, for the church? Even on Sunday mornings, that would be nice if I looked out and everybody is... It'd be, thanks, Wendy. It'd be amazing, because we live in a place of freedom, and your mountains were cast into the sea. Your God is taking care of that. It is not something you have to fight for any longer, because the power of God fights for you. And if he's for you, who can be against you? Amen. And I want you to know just a couple of things going on around the world. That I've been talking to Pastor Jack. He's out in the state of Washington, and Pastor Jack's the one I've been to Iraq and Egypt and stuff with. And the church that you helped build in Kurdistan, in the city of Duhok, which is in northern Iraq, is doing amazing. Now, they've been locked down, and they don't have Social Security. They don't have the government giving them, infusing money into them. They have nothing. And so we as a church, we sent $5,000 over in order to help facilitate and feed the pastors and their families, and so that they would have something to feed their families with in the church. And I want you to know, I forget what how many he said. I believe it was 536 families are taken care of for a month with $5,000. That's what you did. That's what you did. Now, and because of that, there was a young man I told you guys about in Iraq that got saved probably about 2 months ago. And he came up to he came up to Duhok, and Elminia is in Egypt. But he came to Duhok in Iraq, And he met with Pastor Laith, and Pastor Laith started discipling him and then sent him back down in southern Iraq, which is Baghdad. And Baghdad's a little bit more risky for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Sent this young man back down, and remember we told you there was 30 men that wanted to know about Jesus Christ, and Pastor Laith was going to Baghdad to lead them to the Lord. And so as he went down, 15 of them didn't show up because half of them were Sunni and half of them were Shia. And so the Sunnis thought the Shias were going to kill him in this meeting, so they didn't show up. That's the way they think. So the 15 Shiites, they got saved, all 15 of them. And they set up another meeting for the other 15 to come, and then they're going to prayerfully lead them to the Lord. But they were too afraid. Isn't it amazing how the enemy uses fear? And fear does one thing, it divides. And that's what the enemy's trying to do in America and around the world. He wants to divide the church. Because he's afraid of you, you're the most powerful entity on the planet right now. There is nothing more powerful than praying people in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in that name and the dead raise. There is no more power than that. Amen? So they're still praying and he hasn't had a meeting. The young man was down in Baghdad and they firebombed his house the other day. They sent a military explosive through his house that's an incendiary device, and it burned the whole house. His mom is, everybody got out, and his mom, her lungs are burnt pretty bad from the inhalation of the smoke. So they headed north towards Kurdistan. They had to get out because they said, we're going to kill you and your family. So they headed out and headed north towards Kurdistan. And a leading lady in Kurdistan, because they were going to a village, which I can't name, but they're going to a village for safety. For them and their family to continue in the things of God. They said, we have to find a place where we can continue in the things of God. Oh, they burn our house down, but we have to figure out a way to continue to serve our God for the rest of our lives. And so as they're going to this next village going north, and it's quite a trek, Pastor Laith hasn't got a chance to meet up with them, but one of the leading ladies in Iraq, she said, Pastor Laith, we like what you're doing. You bring them to this city. And she said, I'm going to send you $500,000 to take care of them. And I'm going to give you a piece of land so they can grow all their own vegetables and you can feed your people over there. And you tell all the Christians that this city is a safe place for every one of them that comes. So what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around and used it for good. So even if they burned his house down, he said, I'm still going to serve God. And then God says, well, all right, since you're going to serve me, I'm going to give you $500,000. That's a good God. Amen? Amen. He lost it all and almost his family. This is what's happening in the Muslim countries. There was, I don't know if you remember hearing about the Yazidis. The ISIS was trying to wipe out the Yazidis. And the Yazidis are sort of a mix-mux of different religions. It's sort of a mess what they believe. They called and they said, Pastor Laith, we want you to come to our village and we want you to do a Bible study in our village. Three different villages have opened up and they've asked Pastor Laith to come and start Bible studies, train their people in order to start a church in different areas. So that's what's happening in the midst of all the, they don't have any extra money coming in. They're just trying to find food. And God is allowing the man of God to go and to preach the gospel in different cities in a Muslim nation, setting up churches, and the Muslim nation is giving the Christians money in order to sustain them and to multiply what God has started over there in the Middle East. Because let me tell you something, everywhere around the world, God is working in America and everywhere else. Maybe you don't see about it or hear about it. Maybe you ought to change your news supply. Because if you're not reading about the things of God, you're reading the wrong junk. All right? We've got to be... And then I've got another letter from Greg, from Pastor Greg down in Guatemala, right? We were down there last year and we built a church up in the mountains. And we sent money down for Greg because they have nothing either up in the mountains where we work. And he said, we're doing great. Things have been crazy in Guatemala. We have had some quarantines that are a little crazy, limiting travel hours. You can be out of the house, weekends locked in your house. But through it all, we've been able to be a blessing, giving food out to more than 1,800 families, mostly elderly and widows and single moms. Guatemala doesn't have a social system and that helps in situations like this. It's a time when the church has to show the love of Christ and extend a hand. We prayed with most of the folks one-on-one. And it was a great time, very humbling, and as many cried tears of joy for the food, we had two supporters that gave us food to support 120 families for 3 months. One of those churches was you. So I want you to know, this stuff wrecks me because we've got families that you're taking care of. You got babies that are getting fed because of your faithfulness. I want you to know you're changing the world with your giving. Not only just your prayers, not only your worship, not only what you do here, but I want you to know in Iraq, Muslims are coming to Christ because of you. And in Guatemala, babies are getting food on a mountain because of you. I just want you to know it's powerful. Your faithfulness is beautiful, and it blesses God's heart. Can I tell you? It's true religion. Taking care of the widows and the orphans. Taking care of those that are getting firebombed. We're the land of a lot. And the little bit that we all give, God has magnified it in overseas places. And now hundreds of families are being taken care of with a couple thousand dollars. I just want you to know, God looks down and he is grateful for your obedience. And in our obedience, oh, God can do great things. Amen? And so what I'd like to do is just take a couple of minutes and pray this morning before we get into the Word of God for those around the world and just to come in line with what God is doing. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do come and we're so grateful for your presence in this place right now. Father, your presence has just calmed our hearts this morning. Lord, our minds are not scattered, but they're fixed. Because your word says that you're for us, you're with us, you're making a way, you supply our needs. And therefore, we can sit in amongst the brethren in the midst of the presence of our God, knowing that your Holy Spirit is teaching us, even right now. Holy Spirit, every word that goes forth, we need you to take it and embed it into our minds and renew them so that there wouldn't be a thought outside the word of God about anything in our lives. No matter what the world says and what they're running after, that those shiny things that man has created that would try to distract us from the ultimate calling of any person on the planet, their lives, the call of God. Father, that all of those things would be covered up and we would see them for what they're worth, useless things. Father, that they would just be covered with the darkness. We wouldn't even be able to see them. All we can see are those souls that you have placed before us. And Father, I thank you for the men and women around the world, and we pray for their divine protection. Lord, those that are proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ in Muslim countries. Father, as in Egypt, now where there's many more churches or areas that are clamoring and saying, send us someone who will teach us the word of God. We just want a prayer group. Can we start a prayer group in our city? Father, we thank you for the men and the women that are staying on their knees. And Lord, we pray that you would infuse them with a supernatural power this morning, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would fill them with a fresh anointing. Lord, no matter what happened yesterday or what's going on in their area, they would look to you. And Lord, your vision would be so clear for their lives. And they would be led from one person to another, and to another. Father, we thank you for watching over them. Father, awaken the American church. Take the blinders off, oh God. Forgive us of our arrogance. Forgive us of our pride. Forgive us of our complacency. Forgive us, oh God. Lord, let it be that we cry out, here I am, send me. And Lord, in a midnight hour, that we would see the faces of those that you desire to touch through our lives. And once again, the calling of God would just rise up on the inside so that everything else falls away. And the only thing we can think about is that which is important to you. Father, let our hearts be healed this morning. Healed of distractions. Healed, Father, maybe of pains. Forgiveness come into our hearts that we would release everyone else, that we would be the vessels of honor that the King would use all through this great land. Father, we speak to the lies of the enemy. Get out in the name of Jesus. The one that would bring divisions and schisms in the house of God, you have no authority here. for we truly are free indeed to do the will of our Father according to the word of God, which supersedes every other document on this planet. For Father, it's your name that we've come to lift up and to magnify. And as we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, show us the ones that are ready today. You said your fields are white unto harvest. Show us those today in the name of Jesus that have already been prepared. For you said that none come unless you draw them. Father, show us the ones you're drawing. Not only here in America, but Father, in other countries. Give us connections, oh God, that we would have men and women that we would be able to serve and sow into in every country in the world that would proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a lot of them, Father. And we thank you for knitting our hearts together so that you would be glorified. Thank you for the life that you have given us. And Father, thank you for the increase that you have brought into our lives. Let us use it for the kingdom and the kingdom alone. Lord, forgive us of holding back. Forgive us of worrying about tomorrow or being anxious for anything. We trust you today to order our steps, to fill our lives with all that we have need of. Lord, we thank you that you have ordered our steps to walk in righteousness, and we make a decision to walk in that righteousness every day. We agree that you have given us the power to lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead, Father, to say things that are not as though they are, and watch them come in, Lord, to visibility before our very eyes. For you are a supernatural King, and nothing is impossible for you. Lord, let us walk out the complete redemption, all the promises that you have given us all the days of our lives. In the redemption, oh God, we have already received forgiveness of our sins. It's a done deal. They no longer consume and control us. Our yesterdays do not dictate our tomorrows, but your word has been a light unto our path, and we'll walk it out in victory in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Amen. Excuse me. Really? 18 minutes? Thought this was a church. One of the questions you got to ask is, are you a convert or a disciple? We know that converts, when problems come, they run the other direction. That's what converts do because they don't have a strong foundation. They don't know who they are. But disciples, they run in. They run straight at what God has called them to do, even unto the death. Amen? And that death is your dreams, because I think that God's dreams for each one of our lives is bigger than our dreams. Amen? And I want you to know that when you run into that call of God, when you run into the purpose of God, when you run in, your dreams and your aspirations, they all change. I never had a thought of ever being a pastor. I had what I thought were bigger dreams. I was wrong. And they were lies that the enemy tried to distract me with. Because I'll tell you, there is nothing greater than serving God and fulfilling and walking in the call that he has for your life. Nothing more fulfilling, wherever that is. Not everyone is behind here. Maybe you're supposed to open up your house to the wayward ones. Can I tell you? Open up your house, because you will be blessed beyond your wildest dreams. Some have the gift of hospitality. Open up. Let's swing wide our doors of our homes and invite those in, even those that you don't know. I invited a guy in one time, and my wife said, please don't do that again. He had been in prison for quite a while, and he'd been in rehab for, I don't know, a couple weeks. And then we brought him into the house, and he spent the night with us. And she said, honey, you make me nervous. I said, honey, I make me nervous because sometimes I make decisions and just think, that'll be all right. God will take care of this. And he always has. He always has. It's time to take some chances and do what he's called you to do and step out in it. If you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 9 this morning. And I was down by the river walking and praying this morning. You know, it's amazing that in the morning when the river is perfectly calm, you can't tell which way, and if there's nothing out on the river, you can't tell which way the current is going. You look at it, it's perfectly calm. There's nothing out on the river, and it's smooth, and nobody knows until you step into that river just how strong that current is. You know, it's the same thing with God. Nobody knows just how beautiful God is until you step into the place that God has called you. You look around and you say, oh, yeah, that's just church, or oh, yeah, that's just what they're doing. But I'll tell you what, you step into the river and you're going one direction or the other. Either the tide's going in or out. And you know what? Until you get down in that water, you don't realize how it's teeming with life. And that's like the river of God. And Pastor Charlie said something this past weekend. And how many are grateful for the word that Pastor Charlie brought and the words that he spoke over people's lives? It's transformational. When the gifts of God, can I tell you? The gift that God gave you is just as powerful as Pastor Charlie's. It's just as transformational. It doesn't look like his. It doesn't sound like his. But it's the power of God infused into you to accomplish just as much as he's doing. Can you agree with me on that? Tell your neighbor, say, my gift is that powerful. Tell your other neighbor, say, your gift is just as powerful. See, but most people don't step out into that gift. Most shy away. Most hold back. What are people going to think? Tell your neighbor, say, I don't care what you think. There you go. Now you're getting free. Husbands, you better not have said that to your wives. That's all I can tell you. But when I was down on the river this morning, you couldn't tell which way it was going. It was perfectly calm. But the power of that current, which is the power of God living on the inside of you, oh, it changes everything when you step into that water. And Pastor Charlie said, we've been a stream coming into a river, meaning there's transformation coming. And then Pastor Jack said last year, there's expansion coming. And now the Bible says that out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, God establishes things. Amen? And I believe that those two words coincide with one another, that what God is doing is he's expanding. And what he's expanding is he's expanding his word in your heart so that your gift starts to stand up. And then therefore, the kingdom of God has expanded because of the gift in you. That's how God is going to expand things around here. We're going to do it in the spirit. But it's through your gift. Tell your neighbor, say, it's through your gift. John, I didn't see your lips move. Please tell me it's through my gift. John, you don't have laryngitis. Just tell me it's through my gift. All right, John. Now I can go on preaching. Surrender is an incredible word. Just throwing that out there. John chapter 9. Verses 1 through 7. It says, and he passed by and he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents. Isn't it funny the goofy questions that we ask? Isn't it funny? We ask goofy questions. So did they. It says, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 4, he said, we must, or the King James Version says, I must. Tell your neighbor, say, I must. I must. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when one cannot work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world because of him who lives on the inside of you. Amen? You are the light of the world. You walk in the darkness that's out there, but you light it up everywhere that you walk. You are the lights of the world. He's the light. We're the little lights. This little light of mine, right? The little lights. He's that big LED, all right? But I want you to know the closer you walk with him, the brighter your LED shines. He said, I'm the light of the world. He said, and when he had said this, he spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle and applied it, the clay, to his eyes. It seems like he's trying to close his eyes for good. If you're going to put clay on somebody's eyes, that's not a way that you usually help them see better. Amen? Usually you're going to remove something. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. and which is translated sent. So he went away and he washed and he came back seeing. It's not a light matter. It's something that is completely consumes one's thoughts or attitudes. He said, I must. Jesus isn't taking this lightly. But I think sometimes we've taken our calling lightly. I think the church has taken their calling lightly. And unfortunately, the church itself has created a paradigm where it's almost become you have to be a professional in order to perform the things of God. And can I tell you that's not true? Tell your neighbor, say, you're qualified. You're qualified to do the great things of God. You're qualified to do the miraculous if you know Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, I must work the works, the phrase literally means it carries the idea, I must give myself completely. I got to give myself. Are we holding anything back? I must give myself completely to the task before me and do it enthusiastically and passionately. Enthusiastically and passionately. This isn't a struggle. All right, let's try and get to church today, okay, baby? Just make sure that, you know, the breakfast casserole, we have that eaten, half a loaf of bread. I want a nice bubble bath before I go. And then, you know, I want to make sure, you know, let's put the Word of God on a little bit, or let's just sing a song, at least one verse before we go, and let's prepare ourselves. Let's make sure that all of these things are taken care of. And, well, sorry if we're a little bit late. Breakfast went a little bit long. Doesn't sound enthusiastic, does it? And only, look at, I don't know who came in late. I was looking this way, so I'm not looking at anybody. All right, so that's not the issue. That's not what I'm trying to point, the point I'm trying to make. All right? Pastor Mike said everything is more better, okay? So I'm thinking more better of all of you guys, all right? If that's even a sentence. More gooder, more better. But he said he was, for him, it was to do it enthusiastically and passionately. Oh, that the church of God would fall in love with God passionately. If we would fall in love with the call of God passionately. Jesus was saying, I was sent specifically for this mission. You were specifically sent for a mission. You have one mission, and it was written down in eternity before you ever came. He said, I'm going to make you just tall enough. I'm going to make you with just the right look. I'm going to perform. I'm going to get you ready for one mission. I only have one mission for you. Stop looking at somebody else's mission and trying to join in. The SEALs train for sometimes 6 months to go on one mission. They go over and over and over and over and over and over and over again before they go somewhere to perform a mission. And they work tirelessly, endlessly. They blow things up and build them up and blow things up and build them up and blow things up and build. Let's just blow things up and leave them blown up, all right? Let's get rid of things in our lives and not allow them to come back in, all right? And then to go on and do the mission. You were called for a specific mission. It's not the same mission that I'm on. We all have the purpose of loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Amen? But you have a mission. It is purposeful. It is perfect. And it is one that you can do. Tell your neighbor, say, I can do it. Tell your other neighbor, say, you can't do what I can do. Yeah. It's a specific mission for you, and it's curtailed just right for you. How wonderful is that in God? No different than Jesus' mission was for each and every one of us. Your mission is for a specific purpose in the kingdom of God, and you've been designed as a weapon on this earth. You were designed to be God's weapon to destroy the works of the evil one and to set at liberty those that are captive. Amen? And he said, look at, you don't need all the weapons because the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. Good. How about we get rid of the carnal thoughts of how you're going to defend yourself? Right? Somebody comes against you. Do you go spiritual or carnal? Spiritual. Oh, I want to be with that person, whoever they are, because they're more righteous than I am, I'll tell you right now. Sometimes it isn't the first spiritual thought that enters my mind. Sometimes it's natural. And that's what God said. He said, look, I want you to lay down those natural thoughts. I don't want you to think in a natural way. He said, you have heard, but I say. Jesus changed everything. He said, love your friends and hate your neighbors. He said, yeah, but that's not what I want. I want you to love those that persecute you. Why? Because you're a weapon that can heal that heart. You're not a weapon that goes in to destroy. You destroy darkness, but not the person. That's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to build each other up. How? In the most holy faith. So he said to build them up in faith. He said to encourage one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, next week I'm going to ask somebody to come up and sing me a song, a spiritual song. All right? That's what the Bible says. So you Cartwright, you better have a song ready, okay? You and Art can do a duet. You can practice it on Wednesday night, all right? But it's about building each other up in the most holy faith. He said the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. You're not going to do it in your own strength. You're going to do it according to the word of God. He said in order to live, you're going to have to lay your life down. In order to lift things up, you're going to have to lay your life down, each and every one of us. And I'm just so grateful that we're in a building full of perfectly formed weapons. Amazing weapons. Can I tell you? Every other church around wishes they had the weapons that are represented here this morning. But I told them they can't have you. I pay them guys a lot of money to keep you guys here. I just want you to know. He said, I was sent specifically for this mission. It's this mission that Jesus went to what? Heal the sick, mend the brokenhearted, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the mission that Jesus was on. Your mission hasn't changed. Your mission doesn't have something else outside that man has never heard of. I want you to know the mission that he has for you is to break the chains. First of all, in your own mind, by renewing it through the word of God. Agreeing that those last week we sang that song about the chains being on the ground, we step on them. Dancing on the grave, right, because those chains have fallen. Are you dancing on the grave, or are you picking up the chains and putting them back on during the week? Are we looking back at the things because we feel unqualified, or we feel like we failed or we've made a mistake? I want to encourage you this morning. His word has not changed. His purpose has not changed. You're still the same weapon that he created before. It hasn't changed. Your mission has not changed. Because of it, there's no reason that your mission can change. You can't change it because you made a mistake. Some of the words that were spoken last week over people's lives, and we have talked about them, and my wife said, you know, some of the words that were spoken over people, she said it wasn't the words that were spoken, it was the words that weren't spoken that were more powerful. Because God didn't condemn and criticize and bring up the past, God spoke to our future. And everyone that got prophesied about, God spoke what God wants to do in their lives. He said, if you do this, I'm going to use you like this. Can I tell you? That's what God speaks of. He speaks of your todays and tomorrows, not your yesterdays. He said, can you let them go? Can you let them go so I can perform the desire that I have for your life so that you'll see how my power, my glory, my majesty can work through a human being to set at liberty all of those that are walking around in captivity. Jesus said, I was sent specifically for this mission. And he said, and I will answer. Well, I'm sorry, this isn't the word of God, but this is what that phrase means. I must work the works of him who sent me. He said, I will answer to the one who sent me for how I carry out this assignment. That's what he's saying. Jesus isn't playing games on this verse. He said, I must. Tell your neighbor, say, you must. All right. You must work the works of him who sent you. We cannot make a decision and do anything we want. I know that's an Americanism, but it's not a biblical one. You don't get to do anything you want to do. Can you go and live? Listen, if you want to live in the north, fine. If you want to live in the south, that's fine, as long as you're doing the will of God. Right? Where you plant isn't the issue. What you do there is the issue. Because no matter where you live, the purpose doesn't change for what he has created each and every one of us to accomplish. Doesn't matter where you live, that's not the issue. That a bigger house isn't going to change. Nobody sees you as more successful. The souls of men and women, that's what God's looking at. And that's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, look, I know I'm going to give an account for the Father. I'm only going to do what the Father says. I'm going to say what he said, and I'm going to do what I saw in eternity. And I want to replicate that so everybody can see you can walk in this kind of a freedom. That's it. He said, you know, the birds of the air have nests and foxes have dens, but where does a man of God, or where does the Son of God have to lay his head? He didn't even care about houses and stuff that we've been clamoring for and thinking about and chasing after. But he was focused on the works of him who sent me. This week is the week of works of him who sent me. So if we've got to get in there and get our hearts just right, let's work on that. If we've got to forgive someone, listen, if you got to forgive someone in this room, you do it before you leave here, all right? If you're afraid, see my wife. She'll hold your hand like she has mine when I had to go forgive people, all right? Yeah. See my wife. She'll walk with you. She'll hold your hand so you're strong enough to forgive somebody. But I want you to know the reason for that is because you're hindering yourself if you're holding something against somebody else. And it doesn't matter who else you need. You are stopping the move of God in your life. Therefore, you're stopping the move of God in the area that you live in. All right? Because he said this. He's come to do the works of the one who sent him. That's our only thought process, our only purpose. Pastor Charlie was here last week, and he did the works of the one who sent him while he was here. Amen? This week, he's up in Windham. And next week, who knows where he's going. But no matter where he goes, it doesn't matter. A church calls and says, hey, we'd like you to come over here. Good. And what does he do? He goes and does the works of the one who sent him. That's all he does. So when you get up in the morning, you go to your job, what are you going to do? The works of the one who sent you. How? Passionately, with enthusiasm. Not, I got to tell you about Jesus. Yeah, my church said I had to. No, you want to tell them about the one who set you free, the one who washed you and cleansed you, the one who made a way for you where there seems to be no way, the one who's already in eternity, preparing a place for you. What an amazing God and a King that we serve. In Ephesians 5 and verses 13 to 17, it says, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord for you today is to know that you are a perfectly made weapon in the hands of God. That's who you are. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. So if you've been washed by the blood, you are free from condemnation and guilt. Amen? You're free from it all now. Therefore, you're free to do the works of the one who sent you. Therefore, we got to get into the Word of God. We got to find out what words does he want us to speak this week, because his word never returns void. Never. Never. He said, yeah, the days are evil, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's the will of the Lord for your life. Proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Here's the will of the Lord for your life. Repair, rebuild, restore. Here's the word of the Lord for your life. Proclaim Jesus Christ. Get people saved. In other words, lead them into a right relationship with him. Disciple them. Get them filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the Hudson River. Make sure you have a rope on their foot so they don't go downstream or something like that. But baptize them in the Hudson River. This is what the works of the Lord are. This is what God's plan is for our lives this week. Do the works of the one who sent you. You were sent down here as a secret weapon. The enemy can't stop you. See, no matter what kind of a wall he builds, the Bible says that you can run through that troop. The enemy puts all kinds of thoughts and lies and ideas out there in front of you. And he even uses man to try to stop you. He puts a whole wall of them out there and says, you're a loser and you're a failure. You can't. I hate you. All of these things. You're disgusting. You're this. You're that. And the Bible says you just run through them. Say, no, not today. Today, I'm a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my God dances over me. He sings over me. He's got a plan for me. He's got a purpose for my life, and I am free of all guilt and condemnation, and my God adores me, and he's got a purpose for my life. And then the enemy tries to build a wall. You know, he builds a wall with your wrong thoughts. Every wrong thought you have, he takes a brick, and he starts to take that every word that you dwell on that's not of God. It's like taking a brick and building a wall in front of you. The Bible says you can run through that wall. That wall is nothing. No matter what wall the enemy tries to build in front of you, the Bible says you can run through a troop and you can jump over that wall. You can destroy that wall by doing what? Thinking on these things. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. So when you start to think on these things, guess what you start to do? Act on these things. And everybody else around you starts to hear about these things. And next thing you know, you start to passionately share the word of God and how he's renewed your mind, your marriage, your finances, how he set your whole family free. And then emphatically, you start to stand up and just say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I have come to do the works of the one who has sent me. Come, follow me as I follow Christ. This is what God's called us for our lives. You're an amazing weapon, and the enemy can't stop you. There's no weapon on this planet that can hinder what God is doing in you. Come on up, guys. I knew they were coming to chase me off. I just felt it. And I saw them. I wanted to get into redeeming the time, but that's next week. Do the works of the one who sent you. We will give an account, guys. Please. Don't think for a moment you can just sit back on your haunches. Don't think for a moment that because you live in America and it's easy, that you can be apathetic towards the things of God. Please, please, heaven forbid we as a church, look, we know that there's two churches, right? There's the American church and the church in America. We're part of the church in America, the one who is born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, set free, devil chasing, dead raising, church planting, mission-minded church, amen? That's who we are. So we cannot be apathetic and draw back and just sit back and ride this out. You've got to do the work of the one who sent you. That's it. And you're made for it. And you've been filled with the Spirit of God in order to perform it. And there's nothing on this planet that can stop you. I like walking with you guys. I like having you on my team. Because if one puts 1,000, two put 10,000. That's right. So we ought to be able to clean up Hudson in a couple of minutes with all of these weapons in here. Let's stand up this morning. One of the things I want to ask you, if you don't know what the will of God is, but you know it's serving in the house of God. We need some help on Friday with food pantry. We got about 10,000 pounds of food coming. Lisa needs some help. Maybe your teenagers are home and they ain't doing a whole lot. So bring them down. Put them to work. Hey, you want to teach them how to be sons and daughters of God? Good. They got to learn how to serve. Because you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must become the servant of all. Maybe you can make time. Come on down. It's a lot of fun. And you'll lose weight. It's a twofold promise. Let's go before him and pray. Father, we thank you for the words of life. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have begun. And you began the work in our lives before we ever knew you. You began the work in someone else's heart to tell us about our lives before we ever accepted you. You sent other men and women to us and said, hey, you need Jesus Christ. And Father, we're so thankful that you never gave up on us. We're so thankful that you kept sending them even when we pushed them aside. And Lord, let us remember how many times we pushed you aside before we received you as our Lord and Savior. So that when people push us aside, we don't get discouraged. We just keep preaching the Word of God. When people push us aside, Lord, we don't get upset. We don't get angry. We just keep on walking, knowing that today is that day of salvation for some, but not for every one of them. For some plow and some plant, some water and some harvest, some reap. Father, today, let us not worry whether we're plowing up new ground in people's lives that have never heard your word before. And we take the seed of God and we plant it into their hearts. Or maybe it's already been planted and we get to just water it by proclaiming your goodness and your mercy emphatically, doing it with great passion. And we water that seed. And Father, we look forward to those that are coming into the kingdom this week because we get to reap also. Let our eyes be able to see, O God. Let our hearts be renewed and strong in the name of Jesus. For you have healed us through the power of your great love. Lord, we are a chosen generation. We have one generation, O God, to reach, and that generation is now. It's right now, in our lifetime. Father, let us reach and grab another and another and another, passionate about the work of the one who sent us. Father, we thank you that right now, every thought that's not of you, we lay it down. Father, I pray that you would speak to every heart in here right now of the purpose that you have for them. For those that are to open up their homes, open them up. For those that are to give, to give. For those that are to be part of the fivefold ministry, to study, to show themselves approved. Serving and laying down their lives, selling all that we have, oh God, for the kingdom of God. Just getting rid of everything that's distracting us so that you would be glorified. For it's only the work that you have sent us to do that we'll give an accounting for. And Father, we want to accomplish that task. We want to be those, oh God, that said, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though I look around and none are doing what I do, Father, that we'll each one will say, that's okay, because I'm doing the works of the one who sent me. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy that's here this morning. Oh, your acceptance, your healing power, your mercy is brand new today. In everything, Father, any mistake that we have made, we repent. Any idle words that we have wasted or spoken evil, Father, we repent and we thank you that that mercy washes us this morning, that that grace is enough for us this morning. Thank you for it, Father.